Amen. Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 6, Joshua chapter number 6, and thank you so much for being here at this time. If you've got littles with you that want to sit up front, they are welcome to make their way this way down front and sit, and if it's your very first time on our midweek family service, we've got some seats down front on the first and second row, and we've got changed our Wednesday night format 2 summers ago, and just wanted to highlight our kids and give them an opportunity to get involved in our worship on one of our service formats. And so we have a lot of kids who are in the room, some that are on vacation this week, and so there's a hodgepodge of kids that are involved from week to week, but I will tonight need some help, and I'll need at least one girl to help me. So y'all be thinking about fighting over who's going to help in just a minute. But we've been looking specifically in Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, and we've been talking about all that led up to it. We first saw how God told the people how to approach Jericho, and the people were following the Lord. God told Joshua that he would be with them, gave them a promise, and we saw how Joshua told the people that they should follow the instructions, that God's got this, and that we just need to follow him. We talked about all that. Last week, we found once they got to Jericho, they had specific instructions for how they were to march around the city. Remember, we talked about, they weren't allowed to say anything. They weren't allowed to talk as they were going around. And on that seventh day, they actually shouted, and the wall fell down flat. And when the walls came down, they were told as they went into the city, they were told not just don't say anything, they were told don't take anything. And so when they went into the city, they were told not to touch anything. They had to take the gold and the silver and all of the precious elements back into the tabernacle as an act of worship to the Lord. And then as they were going in, they were told one last piece of instruction. Don't say anything, don't take anything, and then most importantly, don't forget anything. Don't forget to obey the things to their totality. And as we get into Joshua chapter 6 and then creep over into chapter 7 tonight, we're going to find that there was one person that didn't follow the instructions. One person that looked at it and said, well, it's not really that big of a deal if I do everything that God says. It's not that big of a deal that I follow the Lord's command in its entirety. And we're going to see tonight, specifically for us as followers of Jesus, that we are supposed to obey him completely, not just partially. As adults, we're supposed to obey him in everything, not just in some things. So let's look at Joshua chapter number 6 and verse number 22. Joshua 6, verse 22. If you don't have your Bible, the words and the verses will be on the screen. Verse 22, and Joshua said unto the two men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. In the story, in your handout tonight, you can write down number one, there is a faithful woman. A faithful woman. Now, I'm going to need a young lady to help me. Not all at once. Somebody want to help me? You going to help me? Okay. All right, Melody, you going to help me? All right. So here we go. You stand right here. Stand right here. Okay. And you're going to say, when I say Rahab said, you're going to say, I trust him. All right. So let's practice. Rahab said.
I trust him.
Okay. All right. Now turn around and look at everybody. All right. And Rahab said, say it. Okay, now say it really loud.
I trust him.
There we go. All right, so let's practice one last time. And Rahab said,
I trust him.
There you go. All right, you can sit back down. Okay, so when I say Rahab said, there you go. She's got it. Okay, so there's a lady in Jericho. Her name is what, guys? Rahab, who helped the spies. Remember in chapter 2, the spies came in to spy out the land. This lady hides them in her house on her roof. She lays down some branches. She hides them in the flax amongst the roof. And when the soldiers come in, they look and they can't find anybody. She sends them away. And as they are leaving, Rahab says, hey, when you come back to take over the city, You need to protect me because I protected you. You need to protect me. And they said, we will if you will take God at his word. And Rahab said, I trust him. And I will do what you've told me to do. Remember, they said, if you bring all of your family into your house, God will protect everyone that's inside your home. And Rahab said, I trust him. I'm going to take him at his word. So much so that in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She protected the people that God sent to her, and God protected her for her kindness and her step of faith. And when we trust the Lord and we honor him with our decisions, he looks out for us. He takes care of those that belong to him. And we're not always going to get what we want, but the Lord will give us what we need. It's on your handout. We might not always get what we want, but the Lord will give us what we need. But guys, where do we know how to find faith? How do we know where we take that step of faith? How do we know? What do we go to when we don't know what to do? When we don't know where to turn, where do we go to find faith? The Bible. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what, grown-ups? The word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Joshua told the spies, go into Rahab's house and get her family. Everyone that was with her in the house would be safe from this battle because of her step of faith. I thought about it this way, and it's on your handout as well. Steps of faith are where we see the Lord provide for us in ways that we can't when we don't trust him. Steps of faith are where we see the Lord provide for us in ways that we can't when we don't trust him. We see the Lord provide for us when we take those steps of faith. God shows us things that we would not normally see when we're not trusting him. So Rahab said, I trust him. No matter what happens in our life, he is trustable. He is trustworthy. And if we don't believe that, it's going to be a long life. It's going to be a long, difficult life as we're trying to honor him. We're trying to serve him. We're trying to follow him. That starts with steps of faith. There's a reason that we have banners in the building, around the building, talking about asking the question, what's your next step? There's a reason that in our kids' wing, we have banners that are focused on kids asking the question, what is your next step? Because we want to teach kids at a young age that a Christian life involves taking steps of faith. And those steps of faith should not stop when we turn 18. Those steps of faith continue for the rest of our life as we follow Jesus. We're always going to be taking our next step. And we've got to make the decision that we're willing to do it no matter what happens. So first, there is a faithful woman in the story. Rahab said, I trust him. Number two, there is a fiery warning. A fiery warning. So God told the people after they go in verse 24 through 27, God told the people, when you go into the city, I want you to leave everything. Remember, don't touch anything. Don't take anything. I want you to take the gold, the silver, the iron, the brass, and I want you to bring it into the tabernacle. Everything else stays where it is. Everything, all the animals need to be killed. Everything that's there, leave it, and then you're going to burn the city with fire. Now look at verse number 25. It says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, her father's household, all that she had. She dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. What he's saying is, don't build it back. Now, I need somebody to help me. All right, it can be a guy or a girl. All right, liberty. Liberty is going to help me. Rahab said, I trust him. But Joshua told the people, don't build it back. So Joshua said, and Joshua stood up in front of all the people and said,
don't build it back.
There you go. All right, Rahab said, and Joshua told the people, good job. All right. Don't build it back. Now, it seems like weird instructions. I mean, you would think if they need somewhere to live and there's a city there, that we should just live there. Doesn't that make sense? There's already places to live. There's already beds in that city. There's already houses in that city. Why can't we just live there? But God is trying to prove a point here. And it's the same point that he tries to show us. The end result is that everything in the city belonged to God. We talked about that last week. That's why he told the people, don't take anything. It belongs to me. For our grown-ups, you've studied Old Testament in the book of Genesis, Cain and Abel. Talk about the first fruits. The first fruits belong to the Lord. We talk about a tithe. The first 10% belongs to the Lord. This is a picture of that principle. The first belongs to the Lord. And so he said, do not touch it. And in doing so, he's saying, burn the entire thing to the ground, because that belongs to me, and I don't want you coming back and trying to claim for yourself what's mine. Now, that seems really like a big deal. Almost like God is serious about that. Hey, don't touch it. Burn it down, because it's mine. It's not yours. And then Joshua takes it a step further and says, if you come back, you're going to be cursed. If you come back and you try to build on top of what belongs to God, you're going to be cursed. He's teaching them that God said this and we're going to obey him. It might not make sense. We talked about that last week. It might not make sense to us. But if God said it, Rahab answered, and Rahab said, close. I trust him. I trust him. You're going back to message one, girlfriend. Good job. All right. She remembers. She said, God's got this. And he does. He does. But he wanted this city to belong to him. First and foremost, it was his. And by burning it down, they were saying, we're not coming back here to claim what belongs to him. By not coming back and building on top of it, we're not trying to build a new city in our name and say that it's ours. They were saying, God, that belongs to you. That is your location. It's yours. It's not ours. We're not even going to come back here and try to build it. Has your mom and dad, boys and girls, ever told you not to do something and you did it anyway? Don't eat that cookie. Don't shake that present under the tree. Don't touch whatever it is. And you did it anyway. Now, if they told you don't do something, and you do what they told you not to do, shouldn't there be a consequence? Yes or no? Yes. All of them are shaking their head. Yes, moms and dads. That is a good sign. Okay? So next time, mom and dad's going to say, remember what the preacher said. But think about it like this. If they told you what not to do and you do it, there should be a consequence. If they tell you to do something and you don't do it, there should be a consequence. Because our mom and dad are the authority that God's placed in our life, and we should obey. Yes or no, we should obey. Yes or no? Yes. Okay? All right? So before all of the adults say, get them, preacher, when the authority in our life says, don't do this, and we do it, adults, shouldn't there be a consequence? If they say, do something, and we don't do it, shouldn't there be a consequence? Yeah, there should be. The rules that apply to them, we're not exempt from. Hey, the same rules apply. When you're growing up at home, if you lie to your mom and dad, there should be a consequence. If you cheat at school, there should be a consequence. If you disobey, there should be a consequence. And it's the same thing in our adult life. If you lie to your boss, there will be a consequence. If you cheat on a test in school, there is a consequence. And when we're dishonest with others, there is a consequence. The same rules apply. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we say that we love Jesus, we should be doing what he says. James 4, 17, therefore to him that doeth it, knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we know that we're supposed to do something and we don't do it, there should be a consequence. If you asked me to feed your fish, okay? Last week we talked about cats, and this week we talked about fish. If you asked me to feed your fish, and I didn't feed your fish, and it died, how would you feel about that? Would you be happy, or would you be upset at me? You didn't feed my fish. How dare you? You didn't feed my fish. But there should be a consequence, because you expected me to do something. You asked me to do something. You said, do it this way. And I disobeyed, and something died as a result of it. That would be sad, wouldn't it? You know, that's very similar to what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. God said, don't do this. Don't eat from this tree. And they did it anyway. And a part of them died. Their soul on the inside died because of sin. There was a consequence. And that's what we're talking about, boys and girls and grown-ups, is when we disobey, there is a consequence. We might not see the immediate result. We might think, man, I got away with it. Nobody knows. But God does. God always knows. So shouldn't the Lord punish us when we do wrong as a result of our wrong choice? God is fully justified in bringing us into submission when we disobey. God has every right, as a loving parent should and does, when we do wrong. See, there was a fiery warning. Don't touch anything, burn it all. It doesn't belong to you. And Rahab said, I trust him. I trust him. And Joshua told the people, don't build it back. It doesn't belong to us. Not even the land. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. So there was number one, a faithful woman. Number two, there is a fiery warning. And then number three, and lastly tonight, there are focused warriors. Focused warriors. Now, at the end of chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, everything is great. Woohoo! We won! This is good! Everybody's excited. But chapter 7 begins with almost a behind the scenes. Anybody ever done like a behind the scenes tour of a play or a theater or maybe a show or a ride? And you've, or maybe you've watched a TV show that shows you like the behind the scenes or how it works. What's that show? How they made America or how America was made or something like that. Mr. Rogers, they would go to like Crayola and show you how crayons were made, show you the behind the scenes. All that kind of stuff is really cool. In verse number 1 of chapter 7, we almost get a behind the scenes look of something that nobody knows about, but just us. All right, so we're going to read verse number 1, and we're going to see a secret. Shh. Okay, here it is, verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now, the accursed thing was what God said, don't touch it. Don't touch anything. Don't take anything. But there was one man in town, and he saw something shiny. And he was like, ooh, that looks awful good. I want that. He saw some clothes. And he said, you know what? I want those. I need a new jacket. I need a new shirt. So I'm going to take those for myself. I'm going to take that element for myself. Nobody will know. And now we know because God knew. And in verse number 1, it says that Achan took, it says his name. Achan took what God said, don't touch. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. All of them. God was upset at all of them for one person's sin. Just for one. Look at verse number 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now, Ai was a very small city that was not far away from Jericho. The Bible says there was about 12,000 people who lived in Jericho. 12,000. That's not a lot of people. That's like the size of Waynesboro. Okay? So imagine a little smaller than Waynesboro. But think about a town smaller than Waynesboro. And Joshua says, we're going to go to that city and we're going to defeat them. Now, they had just come off this big battle of Jericho. Joshua in the battle of Ai. See, it just doesn't have the same ring, okay? Joshua in the battle of Jericho. They just come off that victory and they won. And so Joshua says, let's go on to Ai and let's beat them too. And one of the leaders says, you know what? It's so small, we don't even have to send the whole army. Let's just send 2,000 or 3,000 guys. We got this. And that's what the people said. We've got this. Adults, we've got this. That's ours. Say it with me. We've got this. Say it again. We've got this. That was their stance. Now, Melody has helped me so much, and she doesn't even realize it. Rahab said, I trust him. Okay? I trust him. Rahab took God at his word. Rahab trusted the spies. Rahab trusted the leaders that God placed in her life. Rahab obeyed. Did the people obey God by going to Ai? We have no record that they obeyed. Why? How come we don't have any record? Because they didn't even ask. You notice that? Joshua speaks to the people and says, let's go. Because we've got this. They started out chapter 6 saying, God's got this. It's all his. And now because of one victory, their whole story had changed. It was no longer, God's got this. It was, we've got this. Hey, adults, isn't that where we get in trouble? We come through one victory And all of a sudden, we feel like we've accomplished something. We got this. We did this. We accomplished this. I did this for me. And all along, God is saying, you didn't do that. I did that. I did that. And no one else knew it but God. And because of what they did collectively, did wrong through Achan's sin, when they went to Ai, that little bitty town, just two little letters, Ai, that's how you spell it, Ai. Because they went to Ai, didn't get God involved. You know what happened? They lost. That little bitty town, they lost. 36 men died at the Battle of Ai the first time. Because they went into the battle saying, we've got this. They were so focused on what was ahead of them that they forgot to check on who was with them. Adults, so focused on what was ahead of them. I've got plans, I've got dreams, I've got retirement, I've got all this stuff laid out in front of me that they forgot to check who was with them. You know who wasn't with them? God. And God said, okay, go ahead. I'll let you see if you can do it on your own. And they lost. And it's the same thing with us today. When we think that we can do all of this on our own, the Lord will show us just how much we really need Him. He'll show us that we can't do this by ourselves. When we make decisions without talking to the Lord, it always ends poorly. It never turns out good. Think about Psalm 63 and verse number 1. David said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Now, David's not talking about early in the morning. He's not talking about when I first wake up. The word early is talking about priority. God, you're my first priority. You're the first thing that I get with. You're the first person I talk to. You're the first one that I check with. Early will I seek thee. You're my first priority. And that needs to be our priority. From the youngest to the oldest in the room, he needs and deserves to be first. David said, I'm going to ask you first. But do we ask him first or do we ask him last? Do we ask him wanting to know what he really thinks, or do we just want him to validate what I've already decided? I'm going to take this job, but I'm going to pray about it just to make sure. I'm going to buy this car. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to go to this church. I'm going to do this. And I don't really care, but I'm going to ask God what he thinks just so I can say I prayed about it. Do we seek him first or last? First. How about Oswald Chambers? Quote, he's an older guy who's with the Lord now. Oswald Chambers. Here's his quote. It's on your handout. We have an idea that God is leading us to a particular end, a desired goal, but he is not. What we call the process, God calls the end. His purpose is that I depend on him and his power now. It is the process, not the end, that is glorifying to God. It's the process, not the end. See, God already knows where we're going to end up. He wants us to know whether or not we trust him. Do we trust him in the small things? Like saying, Lord, should we go in this battle? They prayed about Jericho. They got specific instructions about Jericho. But Ai was such a small thing. Hey, grown-ups and boys and girls, even the small things we should pray about. That's why on Wednesday nights when we say, pray for my goldfish, it matters. That's why when we say, pray for my cat, it matters. Even the small things matter to God. This small city might not have been anything to them, but it was a big thing to God because they were going without him. And it mattered after the battle. It mattered to the people. You know, it stands to reason that when we seek his will for our lives, that he will lead us as the one who knows all things. And as we end up where he wants us, as we do that, we are going to end up where he wants us because we can't know all things. We have to have his leadership. We have to have his direction. But the question tonight is, do we want it? Do we want him to lead us? Do we want him to guide us? The people said at Jericho, God's got this. And then at Ai, it became what? Adults, we've got this. We got this. Hey, be careful, boys and girls. Be careful, grown-ups, that we don't face the same temptation and believe that just because we got one victory under our belt, just because God did something miraculous, that all of a sudden we can do what he can do, because that is not the case. We cannot do the things that he can do. We have limits, and God does not. So tonight, let's decide tonight that we will not try to do what only God can do, and we will seek him first in all things. Because we need to say, like Rahab said, God's got this. I trust him. Because he's worthy of our trust. And we can't do it without him. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to place our trust in you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your reminders that we need you. Lord, we do not have this. Lord, we have to have you. Lord, please lead us and guide us. Help us not to rely on our own wisdom or our own knowledge, our own ability or know-how. Lord, I ask that you please help us to see that we are dependent solely on you. Please help us, as David said, early will I seek thee. Help us to seek you first instead of last. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go to our prayer time tonight, and we're going to pray over some of these requests.